Most asked question in the world today is this: if there is so much brokenness and we see it, we experience it, where is God? First of all, God's initial plan was not this, right? God's initial plan was uninterrupted fellowship with Adam and Eve, with us. The animals were communicating with human beings without barriers. Work was a blessing, not a chore, and fear was not known. That was God's plan. But then Adam and Eve joined Satan's rebellion, and they experienced something that they never experienced, which is a disintegrated, broken world. The world we live in right now, it's a world of sin, imperfection, and victims. This is our world now. But this is not the world that God intended for us. I believe this is a good question asking about how and where God is when we are crushed and broken, crushed in sin and darkness. The answer lays in Jesus Christ. He is God incarnate. He is God among us. He is the proof that God did not look to our brokenness with sorrow or helplessness. Like, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know. It's beyond my reach. Or even worse, God never looked away. Never happened. I don't know. God didn't do that. God actually came down to us in the middle of brokenness. Hear what he promised is Ezekiel 34, 16. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. This is our God. And again, the psalmist portrays God in the midst of our desperation. Psalms 147, verse 3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Amen. There is hope. Jesus, and this is the main idea I would like to emphasize today, Jesus came inside brokenness in order to change it. He didn't change it from afar. He didn't change it from close. He changed it from within. And Luke is the one who looks at the birth of Jesus, and he sees that God among us inside brokenness. And in this, I have two acts. Act one, Jesus entered our world to change it from inside out. And if, when you read the scripture, like every act has a scene, right? And if you have act one, God came in our world trying to, and he did it. He changed it from within. The first scene is the theological entry. And I read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8, this: have this mind among ourselves, which is yours in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who thought he was in the form of God, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh. This is the nativity scene. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, the word dwelt means he spread his tent. We were living in a tent, the tent of our humanity. And Jesus said, I am not solving this from afar. I will spread my tent among you. I will be like you. And he became a man. He took this form of a servant, likeness of man, because he didn't want to live in his We didn't want to live in his world. God said, I want to live in your world. You understand? We said, we don't want your world. But God said, I want your world. And that's why he became man like us. Jesus was the God-man. 100% God. 100% man. He was the only one integrated. In a disintegrated world, he was integrated. He was whole. He was hope, pure hope. He was the one. Now, when you look at the nativity entry, it's the scene two, the first one, theological. But now, when you look at the nativity scene, it says, and actually, Henry, when you read this, it's so interesting. It says that this time when Jesus came on earth was the time of Caesar Augustus. Caesar Augustus. His name was Octavian Augustus. His name, real name was Gaius Octavius. But then this title Augustus was given to him by the Roman Senate and means exalted, venerable, the illustrious one. Augustus always was, this title was preceded by Dominus Noster, our Lord. Our Lord. And sometimes by Perpetus, eternal. Perpetuo Augusto in Latin means eternally exalted. Do you hear this? This was not a political title, but this was the point where Octavian ruled as the first emperor of Rome. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, came into the world where they called Pax Augusta, Augustus Peace. The one humble came in the world of the glorious one, Augustus. Do you see the difference here? This is how Luke starts his account of the nativity. Jesus was a king and became, because he came from the lineage of David, but Octavian, you know Octavian Augustus? He was not from the lineage. Actually, he was adopted by his uncle, Julius Caesar. He was adopted into. He was not a king. And now he is the king. And he is the political figure. And Jesus comes into this world where he is only a humble. Remember what the theological enter said? Humble. That was his mark, humbleness. Not like Augustus. Jesus was the God-man. Octavian thought that he was a man becoming God. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to do this here, but this is us. This is our brokenness. We think that we are mighty and then we are in control. You know what? Augustus died. Never rose again. Never resurrected. But Jesus died. And he resurrected. Praise God. This is where what happens when God enters our brokenness. The nativity entry tells us a story of a humble son of a humble parents living with the stigma of welcoming the God-man in their family. Born in a stable, laid in a manger, moved to a house, running for his life as a refugee in Egypt, taking care of his family until he was about 35 years old. When he started to heal people and to teach them, he was a rabbi. And then he trained as a rabbi. He trained 12 men. He was accused of sedition. He was crucified as a criminal. Yep. This was the journey that Jesus took in our broken world. Now, let's move to scene three. Death and resurrection. On that cross, Jesus took the brokenness of all mankind upon himself. After a life of suffering in a broken world, Jesus took the sin and the brokenness and he made a breach in this world. For the first time, a perfect man, a sinless man, an integrated man, lived and died to finish the brokenness of all of us. You understand? Our brokenness held him on the cross. Our brokenness held him in that tomb for 3 days, but only for 3 days. Because our brokenness cannot be greater than the life itself. You know, Yahweh, God's name, God is a title. Yahweh is his name. Means existence. I am that I am. You cannot hold existence in that tomb. You cannot. The resurrection is the way out of the greatest brokenness of all. The one that Adam and Eve they are responsible. Yes, those who trust in his death as the payment for their sins, they may experience cancer, death of someone dear, depression, racism, injustice, being fired, canceled, pushed away. Yes, on a temporary scale, these are the consequences of sin in our world. What has changed from the first Christmas and the first resurrection is the eternal perspective. Second death has no more power over these people that they accept Jesus Christ. You understand? Second death, hell, lake of fire. Jesus stopped the effects of the second death to terrorize us and to paint a grim future for us. We don't have a grim future anymore. Now, Act 2 in this nativity scene is this. When Jesus enters not only in the world, but he also enters in our hearts. And when he enters in our hearts, the purpose is to change them from inside out. It's personal now. The entry in many hearts is a certain reality. Look around. This is God's family right here, the church. If you wonder if Jesus had brothers and sisters, yes. This is us, okay? With those who accepted by faith his death as a payment for their sins, Jesus formed a new society, the church. Jesus' brothers and sisters are right here. You just introduced yourself a few minutes ago. But he doesn't want only to enter in our world. He wants to enter in our heart. From this position, Jesus starts to change the heart from inside out. And as Jesus came into the broken world, and he changed the history. He changed it from inside out. He can do this with human hearts. When we talk about hearts, I refer to the center of our personality, the person who you are when nobody looks at you. That's the heart. And Jesus came to change our hearts. Now, the entry in your heart, I don't know, it is to be determined. You have to choose this for yourself. If you feel that your heart is broken and you need a new heart, you came in the right place. You came to see a manger. Yes, and you are right. Jesus was born in a manger, but this was only the beginning. I want to take you to the cross because there is no Christmas without the cross. And the Christmas tree is our cross, actually. Here at the cross, you can give your heart. And Jesus promised that he will make it new. Broken means you take something and break it, right? What do you do with a broken vase? You want to use it. You start to paste it together, right? All the pieces. But then when you look at it, it's still broken. You know it's broken. You know what? Jesus never said, I will paste your broken back. I'll put it back. No. Jesus said, I will give you a new heart. This is what Jesus does with the heart. And if you don't believe me, well, I hope you will see this. God will do this with the world. With this world that is broken, God will take it, throw it to the recycle bin, and he will make a new one. He will not repaint the old one. He will make a new one. So what's my conclusion looking at this nativity scene? Well, I told you the story of Jesus. He came in this world to change it from inside out. He came to change the human hearts from inside out. Now this story becomes your story, my story. Would you give your heart to Jesus to make it whole again? And he said, I am with you.